Welcome to an Englishman in the Balkans podcast. I'm David.
I'm Tamara.
And this podcast is where we bring you stories of life, culture, and adventure in Bosnia and Herzegovina.
From the unique perspective of exploring this beautiful corner of the world.
Whether you're here for travel tips, cultural insights, or simply to share in the stories of everyday life, we're glad you've joined us. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome back to An Englishman in the Balkans. Over the years, I've met all sorts of people who found themselves living in this fascinating part of the world. But every now and then, someone truly stands out. Someone who's not just living here, but actively shaping things. And today, I want to introduce you to Bronwyn Jones. She's from the Bronx, New York, and she now lives in Kosovo. But it's not just about geography, it's about what she's doing there. Bronwyn runs a rugby program for women and girls. Yes, you heard that right. Rugby. In Kosovo. For girls. And what started as an idea has grown into a movement, one that's challenging gender roles, breaking down ethnic divisions, and creating a sense of community in a country still healing from conflict. We sat down to talk about how it all started, what rugby means in this context, and the real highs and lows of building something from scratch in the Balkans. So, how does someone from the Bronx end up in the Balkans for nearly two decades?
Okay, so I'm from the Bronx, New York, and I've been working and living in the Balkans since almost 20 years now, I guess, maybe a little bit more than that. And then I've also worked in media and development and now sport and working on youth and gender issues and also minority issues across the Balkans, of course, Ukraine, Armenia, Afghanistan. So I'm just one of those old development people who's still out here in the field, as they say. So I'm based in Kosovo. And I run Revolution Rugby, which is a project for women and girls from all communities to learn and play rugby. Rugby union, of course.
Coming from North America, there were plenty of other sports Bronwyn could have leaned into. So I asked her, why rugby?
Well, in Kosovo, it was not heard of at all. And so that was to our advantage because only 8% of women and girls play sport here. And, you know, it's a very extremely conservative society. Only 18% of women even work here, so have jobs. And of course, coming from North America, I could not play North American football. But we have this law called Title IX, which guarantees that women and girls have equal sports to men at schools. So for a lot of women and girls, it was playing rugby or playing soccer. I played a lot of soccer at school as well. And that was actually more my thing, I would say. But as an adult, I got more into rugby as part of the influence of a lot of people from Ireland and England and New Zealand, and also being in Afghanistan with a lot of people from New Zealand, Australia, South Africa. And if you're in Afghanistan and you're on a compound with a bunch of guys from New Zealand, South Africa, and England and Wales and Ireland, you better like rugby. So that's how I sort of got into it. But for me, you know, I'm just going to say what the appeal of the sport is to me. And I think also to the girls that we play with here, it really is a sport about support and protection. And, you know, you have to, you know, throw back to run forwards. And it has to be a team sport. So the very essence of how you play rugby develops this idea of teamwork, of togetherness, and the culture of rugby, it really works on that advantage too. It's really appealing because it's all about having your sisters and playing with your sisters and supporting your sisters and being there for your sisters. We all work together to create the Revolution Rugby League. We all have rules. We all clean up after each other. We all help each other. We all do this together. And especially in women's rugby, that's a big part of our culture. That helping, that supporting, that going out there on the pitch and giving it your all and having a great time and really powering through, of course, and being aggressive on the pitch. But when you get off the pitch, it's really about helping and looking after each other and going to the party and enjoying it, because how many women are out there playing rugby like you do? Very few. So you have to celebrate each other.
Bronwyn's created a safe space, a space where girls can be strong, be physical, and also be supportive, a space that's sorely missing in many parts of the Balkans. So I asked, what's it actually been like to set all this up in Kosovo?
You know, I realized about 7 years ago now, with the first women's rugby team, which was called Balkan Lynx. When I first started it, I had just come back from Afghanistan. I was really out of shape, you know, and I don't really like going to the gym all the time, although I go to the gym all the time. But, you know, I want to play a sport. I want to have something which is fun to do. And one of the things in doing it was that we were able to, you know, men said to me, you'll never get women to play this sport. And yet women did want to play it because it was something new. It was something different. And they had never done anything like it before. So that was to our advantage. And nobody knew about the sport. And it's still to our advantage that people don't know about the sport. So they can't say here, oh, it's only for men. So when I started Revolution Rugby, which was after the pandemic, I just wanted to ensure that all girls got to play rugby. The most difficult part is, of course, the resources, because you can't buy rugby balls in Kosovo, for instance. So it's always a bit about make do on that side. And then also our pitch fees are really high. So 25 euros in Pristina, but like maybe 15 outside of Pristina. And you don't have natural pitches, very many natural pitches. So you're working on really bad false grass a lot of the time. And I don't know if it's the same way in Bosnia, if you have maybe more access to more natural, like full-size pitches. But for us, it's usually we take a half-size pitch and we start from there. And that's basically the story there. In terms of getting girls who want to play, that is not difficult at all. Because, like I said, people don't know what rugby is here. So there's no reason for them to stop a girl from playing. And also, there's not a lot of spaces where just solely female spaces, especially in sports. So when you don't have that, people just want to call them. And there's not that much to do, particularly in areas where you're outside of Pristina, especially if you don't have money. So there's not a lot of stuff which is dedicated towards females.
Living in Bosnia and Herzegovina myself, I know how deeply ethnic divisions can run. So I asked Bronwyn how that plays out in Kosovo and what role sport might play in bridging divides. What she describes is eye-opening. Most of these girls have never interacted with anyone outside their own ethnic group. Schools are often segregated, but on the pitch, that starts to change slowly. Rugby becomes a space where labels start to fall away.
Yeah, it's hard, actually, because a lot of the girls, especially if they're Albanian and from Pristina, have never met someone from outside their own culture. You know, also have to remember that all schools, are, like a lot of schools, especially in the Kosovo system, are segregated. So they don't go to school with each other a lot of the time. Sometimes there are schools that are, like in Prizren, one of the largest schools is multi-ethnic. Also in Krina, it's a school that we work with is multi-ethnic. But a lot of times they're not. And that is really, really problematic. I think the international community has failed with a multi-ethnic, multi-democratic state. That's what we're supporting by helping you build this state. On the other hand, we have not done a very good job of ensuring that the state ensures that everyone is treated in that way, you know, or that it's a welcoming and open multi-ethnic society. They've tried to do things like control sport here. So where they try and make kids choose between the sports. So you can't play both rugby and football. You're supposed to play one or the other, which is just absolutely ridiculous and not how you develop an athlete. You know, and should be able to play four sports if they want to, you know. There's nothing that really is out there encouraging women to play, women and girls to play. And they don't offer to help any in any way or to make it very easy for you to do it. there is a load of bureaucracy to get through as well. When they could give the Germans a run for their money on that one.
So how does Bronwyn fund all of this? And how can people help? From grants to micro donations to literally dipping into her own pocket, Bronwyn keeps this all going. But what she really wants is sustainability. Training local women to lead, to coach, to fundraise. So the project becomes theirs, not just her.
We get grants under reconciliation, under women's issues, under youth issues. Sometimes individuals will just send me money, which is great. And K4 was our biggest sponsor last year. So we hope that they will continue. And they gave us about a little over 6,000 euros last year. So that was a big help because it was just cash and that's what we need. Very often, and we just finished an event for Women's Day with UNMIC, the UN mission in Kosovo, so that will help raise some money as well. This is a problem for almost all women's girls rugby around the world on the grassroots level, because and even on the elite level, to be quite frank, because we all suffer from it. My colleagues in Uganda are currently like, we want to do 4 women's matches on Women's Day. Give us some money. So it's the same thing everywhere. It's like this. And especially in these very much poor countries where I can't go to someone like if I was in England or in where they actually support, you know, where the RFU supports women's rugby a lot. You can tell this by looking at the Red Roses, right? The Red Roses success. It's different. I could say, you know, okay, we want 40 euros a month. And the kids and, you know, and use that maybe to give some scholarships to poor kids or something like that. We can't do that here. You know, I can't charge kids here. Maybe we might start charging on a little bit of a lower level for some of our kids who are maybe families that can afford it, like maybe 7 euros a month or something like that. Sometimes I wake up and I think to myself, I can't do this anymore. I get really tired. And then, when I go out and I coach, like I do my coaching sessions with the kids and the kids are enthusiastic and they don't know, they don't understand all these problems and they're happy and they're playing and they're having a good time and I jump in and I pray with them and we're having a really good time. It's worth it to see these kids grow. Or when I have a Roma girl who's in Mitrovica who is one of the best players we have and she's like now coaching other kids in the Mahala. And she's such a painfully shy girl. When she came to us, completely shy. And now she's coaching other girls, teaching her sister how to play with her. But her sister is almost as good as she is. In fact, probably may even be better at some things. And now she's the captain of the club. And she's thinking like, okay, now I want to go to university. Whereas before she was bullied at school. And so she wasn't even going to school for long stretches of time. So now she's like, you know what? I'm going to go to university. I'm going to go play rugby in Japan. That's where she wants to go play rugby. So she now sees herself having a life. And when you see that you have that kind of impact on someone and you haven't done anything but very open and bore, then it makes it all worth it. And yes, I think it's a sustainable project because I worked really hard on sustainability, and that's why I have locals who were training as coaches, or women administrators, and women match officials so that they can carry it on. And you see how it is being carried on with this girl. Eventually, she'll come back and she'll coach more, and she'll spread it, not me. So it just goes down like this, and that's the way we do things. And now I have other girls, Christina, who are doing the same thing, who are spreading that they spread it themselves. They show themselves doing it. And then other girls want to join. In terms of money and that sort of thing, eventually we'll have to join with the Federation and have to accept us. They'll have to accept us. And we will get funded. And they'll figure out how to fund themselves. This is a big part of training women administrators, how to find that money. How to do the things that you need to do, how to budget for a sports event, how to reach out to younger people, how to do all these things. And that's a big part of what we train as well.
Looking ahead, Bronwyn has plans to take the girls abroad to expand the network to revive regional competitions, whether that's beach rugby in Bulgaria or joining up with clubs from across the Balkans. The future looks bright, but it needs help to shine.
Yeah, well, we did do one event last year in Montenegro, and we ended up with one of our girls going and joining with another team and playing. And for her to see Montenegro, that was like really exciting. And we're going to do more of those events like this year. We want to do, as you know, probably in rugby in Kosovo, and rugby in the Balkans, you know, the big thing in the summer is, of course, beach rugby. And so we're going to definitely be taking girls to Bulgaria, to Budapest for beach rugby. We got invited to Costa Blanca in Spain, which would be great if I could take them to Spain, because they might just be super happy, and also to go to Greece and play as well. But then it's really important. You know, there used to be in the Balkans a regional network of sevens. I don't know if you know women's regional or sevens competition. And it involved clubs from Bosnia, from Croatia, from Serbia, from Montenegro, and Greece, and Bulgaria. And it would be nice if that was revived again, because that would really help us to focus and bring our teams to those types of events. So we hope to bring the girls and do more of that regional play.
I ended by asking Bronwyn where she sees herself in the years ahead. She might not know exactly where she'll end up, but rugby and the girls she's worked with will always be part of her story, and they'll carry that work forward.
Thank you so much for being kind and spotlighting the program, because the girls, of course, always need it. And, you know, and I hope that your listeners will support us, but I hope that they'll also support the girls in their own communities, especially if they're in the Balkans. All women's rugby in the Balkans needs help. So we really appreciate it.
I think what Bronwyn's doing is nothing short of remarkable. Her program is bold, brave, and incredibly important. If you'd like to support what she's doing, check out the show notes. I've included links and ways you can help. And if you're listening from elsewhere in the Balkans, maybe even think about how to support the girls in your own communities. Because, as Bronwyn said, women's rugby across this region needs support. And just before I go, if you enjoyed this episode, why not follow or subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss future conversations like this one? You can also leave a quick review or share this episode with a friend. It helps more people discover these stories from the heart of the Balkans. So until next time, stay curious.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast, where we hope you have discovered something new about Bosnia and Herzegovina.
If you've enjoyed the show, be sure to hit subscribe and share it with others who might enjoy a journey through the Balkans.
Want to help us keep the stories coming? You can support the podcast by visiting Buy Me a Coffee.
Your support helps us share even more about life, culture, and the hidden gems of this incredible region.
You will find the link in the show notes, along with extra content on our Substack, including behind-the-scenes insights and updates.
And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us your thoughts, questions, or ideas for future episodes.
Until next time, živjeli!